There are so many reasons why I got into teaching.
One of the best things is the light bulb moment.
When you see a pupil suddenly understand something, that's really, really special.
Every child is so full of potential, and the thing that makes me proudest to be a teacher is seeing them realise what they are capable of.
I don't think any other job can give you the same satisfaction.
That's why I chose to teach.
You could get £26,000 tax-free to train. Search, apply to teach. Selected subjects only, subject to eligibility.
Gamertag Radio is on Play.it.
You can now watch Gamertag Radio live on Twitch.
Get all the latest news and coverage related to the gaming industry.
Join hosts Danny Pena, Paris Lilly, and Peter Toledo.
Don't miss the crew record the podcast live Sundays, 9:30 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, or Wednesdays, 9:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Get involved with the conversation, send us questions, and be part of the show.
Gamertag Radio.
Follow us, twitch.tv/gamertagradio.
No ground given now as Karma finds another two-piece. Here's the overdrive. Bob, is he just trying to back him up? Make it all the plays. It's Grim Six. The curse has been broken. The dynasty has been cemented. They are the greatest roster in Call of Duty history. Optic Gaming are officially the Call of Duty World League Champions.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Ladies and gentlemen. Podcasting since 2005. You're listening to Gamertag Radio with your host, podcaster Hall of Famer Danny Pena, the always opinionated Paris Lilly, and from outside of the norm, Peter Toledo. This is Gamertag Radio.
All right, welcome to Gamertag Radio, episode 690. Wow, P, we're almost 700. This is your host, Danny. What's going on? And also, we have P in the house. Pete.
Yo. What's up, dude? How's Orlando?
Orlando's been good. Orlando's been good, man. I'm here for the Call of Duty World League Championship.
Okay.
It's been amazing. Amazing. Yesterday... one of the my favorite games yesterday was Splice versus Optic Gaming. That was a pretty good battle right there.
Okay.
And also Optic last night, they won. They beat FaZe. FaZe, they were playing too last night. So today, I believe it's the finals, and that's it. I'm heading back to Miami. They're on tonight, yeah. But it's been good.
Really cool. Is this your first time seeing a Call of Duty World Championship, like a live competitive event?
No. Last year we went to XP. That was my first Call of Duty Championship that I went. But I've been to many multiple tournaments in the past, like Halo 2, stuff like that, and also like fighting tournaments. So, but Call of Duty, this is my second time for Call of Duty.
Okay, and overall, like, how has the experience been?
Oh, it's been great. I've been loving it, man. There's a lot of people here. It's pretty packed.
I can imagine.
Yesterday got really packed. And the good thing, too, for those that don't know, here they also have the new Call of Duty game. World War II is available here, playable. And it's the same build from E3. So you could go sign up and they'll tell you, okay, come at this time and we'll play. So, yeah, it was a lot of people playing that, long lines. And been good. Scuff is here, of course. MLG and like a bunch of other different boots is there, like promoting their products, and people are buying shirts and hats, and it's good. Love it, man. Love it. And there's a lot of people that has been like very, very curious, especially like the local media that have never seen this before.
Right.
There's a lot of media here, man. So a lot. Yeah, but it's been good. Been great, man.
Good.
Yeah, and let me tell you, it's the best watching that live. Oh my god, The crowd goes crazy, dude. Crazy.
No, I can imagine.
Insane. And
so, aside from having competed in things like that for from years ago when I was doing clan matches and just competitive gaming, Ghost Recon, Rainbow Six, etc.
Mm-hmm.
Seeing it from a participant perspective is one thing, but seeing it from the fan, it throws you off because you see the energy from the crowd going off in, you know, in support of their favorite teams. So like I was there at the League of Legends LCS a couple of years ago on the grounds of FSU, and took my son there, and just to see 20,000 people in an arena going berserk in support of their favorite team, and the screaming and the just the energy itself is so much fun. It draws you in. Mind you, I at the time I wasn't a big League of Legends fan simply because, you know, it wasn't a game that I had played maybe an hour and a half, 2 hours. I had tried it. It just wasn't my cup of tea. But you know, knowing that my son had a lot of, you know, enjoyment out of it, you know, made me just pay more attention to the game, just to try to understand more. What did it mean to be a jungler? What did it mean to be a top lane, bot lane, you know, et cetera? What did it mean to, you know, to push just, or a jungler, things like that, just things you wouldn't normally understand or know just from, you know, just a cautionary, you know, review of just, or just paying attention to it. Going there, it was like, wow, okay, yeah, I get it. I get the excitement. I get why this is such, you know, a big thing and why esports has exploded as a result. So yeah, I can imagine a game that's as competitive as Call of Duty, seeing it in that type of setting just adds to the whole thing, right? You know, so you're not just, oh, I'm just not, it's not just like watching it on Twitter Live or watching it on Twitch or watching it on YouTube from a VOD or something like that, but being live and in that arena, seeing it all unfold in front of you just makes it that much more exciting and fun, dude.
Yeah, man, and the crowd screaming, chanting their favorite team. Oh man, it's awesome. Yeah, it's but awesome. This episode of Gamertag Radio, you gotta listen to the podcast. So listen to these interviews. But I have two interviews. One, I interviewed the CEO of Optic Gaming, Hector Rodriguez. Mm-hmm. Super cool guy. We had a great conversation, more about like the business side of esports, how, you know, a little bit of the history about Optic Gaming and everything. And great, great conversation. And also, I also interviewed the director of the Call of Duty World Championship League. His name is Kevin Flynn.
Okay.
Cool dude, man. Both of them had a great time interviewing them and everything. And like I said, there's a lot of people that probably don't know much about esports. So we talked more about that, like the how to get them to be involved or to you know, watch it, go attend the event, or if they want to compete too. Like, we talked about all that stuff, man. So really cool conversation, man. Can't wait to release it, man. So, but Pete, I still have to travel this week, man. Yes, you're going with me too.
Yep.
Right?
Yep. Yeah. I just don't. Can we talk about it? Is it safe?
No. No. We can't.
We're still okay. So yeah, I mean, I had alluded to it a couple of days ago while doing one of our Let's Plays of Agents of Mayhem.
Mm-hmm. So let's go with that.
Yeah, I mentioned. You know, that's something. You know, I guess we could segue into it now.
Yeah, let's go for it.
So, you know, obviously we were playing, you and I have both, well, you've been looking forward to it, but I've been playing Agents of Mayhem over the last couple of days.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it's pretty exciting. It's a good stuff. It's a good open world action adventure from Volition. We'll actually have Jason Blair, the lead writer and narrative director from Volition, live on the show on Wednesday night. So, you know, if you're interested or you want to know more about it, hit us up, watch the show, you know, pay attention. We will have obviously gameplay all throughout the next couple of days. I know, Danny, you've been looking forward to getting home so that you can play it. So I'm pretty sure you'll probably be throwing it up during the day on Monday.
Yeah, definitely. Maybe I'll play a little bit tonight, play it for sure tomorrow. We've been trying to get this interview for a while. It's just been like scheduling been kind of hard because the days that we're recording stuff. But I can't wait for Wednesday night. It's going to be a great show. I
think. Awesome. Yeah. And so without going into too much detail, because I want to leave some of that juice for Jason to give out. If you're familiar with the Saints Row story, while it's not exactly a direct sequel or anything to the Saints Row storyline, it is set within the same universe. So essentially, you're a group of you're a group called Mayhem, which is out to protect the world from evil. And in this case, you're trying to defend against the evil forces of Legion. It kind of feels like I'm trying to like I'm mouthing the words for like the Transformers theme song. The evil forces of Legion.
Yeah.
But no, it's a really fun game. If you, again, if you like the Saints Row story and that whole thing, you'll fit right in. And if you're not familiar with it, it's not a requirement for you to jump into Saints Row before you go in. It's a different spinoff. So like, it's so much fun. I've been streaming it. I know people, I know some of our mods have been checking it out. Like Cypher, she had been playing it, I think on Friday as well. So shout out to Deep Silver, the marketing team over there, because they were actually hosting our stream while we were playing it the other day. So
yeah, that was pretty cool of them.
Shout out to them. Shout out to Volition for you know having Jason on the show for us on Wednesday, and man, it's stupid fun. It's one of those games, like I was saying on the stream, that it doesn't have to be always a competitive game or what have you. This is one of those games that you can just like let your hair down, be in boxers on the couch and just have silly fun. Whether you're on a controller or keyboard mouse, it's just stupid fun.
Yeah. The game comes out Tuesday, August 15th.
Yep.
15th. So yeah, the 16th, the next day, that's when we're going to have him on the show to talk about the game and everything. So yeah, I think it's a great way to celebrate the release of the game. You know, so, but Pete, the thing that I like about this, at first I thought, you know, when this was announced, everything, I thought this was gonna have multiplayer, but it doesn't. Correct. And I like that. I really like that, dude, because, you know, personally, I think it's a lot more challenging to get your game out there to the masses and let it become a hit. If it's single player, it's a lot harder than doing that just depending so much on the multiplayer. Am I right?
Correct. What? Yeah, that's one of the things that they said that they wanted to focus on, was just make sure that it's just fun, right? Just focus on the story, focus on the silliness of the game, and just have fun.
Yep. Yeah. Totally agree. I can't wait. Can't wait. What is it that you like about it? Because you know, we always love listening to like the soundtrack of different games and stuff. How's the soundtrack for this? Because I love the soundtrack from past Saints Row games.
Well, that's one thing I have to say, is just the music, actually, it's not a highlight, but it's not like up in your face. It's I guess you could say it's gonna draw upon the, you know, it's gonna draw upon what you're listening to now. I guess it's electro dance slash trap music. It's good. I like it. I have a lot of fun with it. I haven't heard any like hip hop artists that I recognize, or any new artists like Russ or anything. But okay. I'm digging it. The music is fun. It's a good part of it.
All right, cool, man. Cool. And are you really far in the game or what?
I want to say I'm about 3 hours and change into the game.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Are you planning to play today again or no?
Yes, I will be playing. I wanted to play some yesterday, family business called, and it takes priority here. You know, my daughter, my son is here from college. He's actually passed out right now, but he's home from college for the first time in about 6-7 weeks. My daughter just got back from a 2-week vacation. She was camping in North Carolina. So
nice.
Yeah. So I have my entire family here for the first time in a long time. So it's just, I just wanted to take a day and just, you know, have fun with them. Watch the entire season 3 of Voltron last night. Yesterday, nice. All day with the family. That was a lot of fun. And
mind blown. I bet when your mind was
I don't know if I was ready for that. I don't know if I was ready for the emotions last night, but oh my God, that was awesome.
Yeah, it's good.
That was good.
Yeah, and the good thing too, season 4 is coming up in October.
Yes, yes.
So there's a trailer. So that's like a teaser. Yeah, that's a teaser. Where after you finish the last episode, they show a teaser of season 4. It's so good. Oh man.
I'm so looking forward to it, man.
It was so good that I was texting Paris back and forth because I didn't want to post on our chat because you haven't seen it. So we were just talking about everything about it, man. So it was pretty cool. Shout out to Paris. I'm still on vacation, man.
Nah, but he's actually in the chat, so
Oh yeah, he is. Yeah, shout out to Paris, man. Yeah. But so later this week, we're traveling to the West Coast. Can't really say what it is, but make sure to tune in because we're gonna have a lot of content for the month of August. My God, Pete, it's looking
it's
crazy
insane.
For the
it's
month.
Crazy.
Of, that's it. That's it. Holiday season is about to begin. It's this true. Is it right here,
that's
man.
That's true. That's true. It hasn't dawned on me, but I mean, if from a marketing perspective, they need to start now to hype it up for what's yep. coming up. Oh my God.
Yeah. So there's gonna be a lot of streaming, a lot of new games coming out that we're planning to stream here. I'm excited, Pete. I'm excited about Zombies Call of Duty. You know, I know everybody's talking about the multiplayer and single player. I'm talking about Zombies. God, that's my type of game. So I'm definitely going to be streaming that. What else are we getting? Oh, Mario Rabbids. That's coming out this month. Mm-hmm. We got Agents of Mayhem. Pete, also Lawbreakers. We got it. Have you been playing it? Have you checked it out?
Honestly, I have not, but I cannot wait to play it. I know I got to play it about 2 years ago or a year and a half ago at E3.
Yes.
And it was a lot of fun. It's high action. I have been watching some of the streams of some of the early access people that have been playing it for review.
Mm-hmm.
It's exciting, dude. It's dope. It's a good spin on competitive first-person shooters because it's not the standard, you know, your ground base. It's you're high flying, you're at full speed, gravity defying. I mean, you can use your weapons as a boost. It's insane. So I can't wait.
It reminds me a lot of, it's a combination of Unreal Tournament.
Okay.
And a little bit of Overwatch combined. And it's super fast. So, in my opinion,
I don't know if I would say Overwatch. I just think Overwatch might not be the right name for that personally.
Really interesting, because I did find it like that.
Okay,
based on a few things. One is there's not a lot of modes right now available to play. You know, it's just multiplayer, right? Similar to Overwatch, but I feel like through time they're gonna be adding a lot more stuff to do in the game later on. They're probably going to add more new characters, more new stuff. So it just reminded me that type of vibe of Overwatch when it came out.
Okay.
You know, but still Unreal all the way, super, super fast. Oh my God.
Yeah.
So I can imagine it's fast on the PlayStation 4. So I can imagine on a PC, it's probably 10 times crazier.
Well, I would imagine it would be uncapped at that point from a frames per second perspective. So, yeah, I can't wait. Now that I think about it, I'll probably fire that up later today.
Okay.
Just to put some time into it and then maybe alternate back and forth between that and Agents of Mayhem.
You should let your daughter or your son play, because I know they love Overwatch. So I'm just curious to see if they would like this game, you know. So
yeah, I can imagine. I mean, they both do. So I'll let them play it. I'll see what their response is. I won't put them on camera, but
no. I don't like that.
I'd like to see their overall reaction to the game and see how they feel. I think because my son is the more competitive one, he might appreciate it or enjoy it more. I think my daughter will like it, but since she's so hooked, I mean, she actually just nailed level 201 last night on, she's 201 on Overwatch right now.
God, man.
It's pretty filthy. Filthy, her skill set.
Dope.
Yeah. And actually I still have that open challenge to Marsha from the Mommy Gamers, put my daughter up against her. So, I'm still waiting for her to show her, you know, to show up. So
Shout out to Marsha.
Like I was saying, the kids are here this week from college and camp, and shout out to Blue Apron, because if it wasn't for them, you know, me and the wife have been doing just her and I eating over the past couple of weeks. But thanks to Blue Apron sending us these awesome lamb and beef burgers that we had, you know, it gave me and the kids a really good opportunity to sit down and have a family meal, something that we haven't had a chance to do for a long time, you know, with summer and, you know, everybody's schedules being all over the place. One of the things that Blue Apron likes to say is that when cooking together, it actually builds a stronger family bond. Research actually shows that Blue Apron families cook 3 times more often because of the way the whole program is, where they send you the food They send you all of the ingredients, and everybody gets to spend time in the kitchen and at the dinner table to eat. Another great thing is instead of going to restaurants or grocery stores to buy all these extra ingredients that you may or may not even use, sometimes they sit in crisper hell at the bottom of your fridge where food goes to die, essentially, is what my wife likes to call it sometimes. You actually get everything you need for your meals. And Blue Apron is the number one fresh ingredient recipe delivery service in the country. And one of the ways they get to do that is by establishing partnerships with over 150 local farms, fisheries, and ranchers across the United States. And as a result, your food comes fresh, packed well, and you know it's from a sustainable source. And you get, like I said, you get the exact amount of every ingredient required for every recipe, and that in turn reduces reduces food waste. So, like I was saying, I had beef and lamb burgers with the kids. We also had a chance to have bucatini pasta and tomato sauce, which is really, really, really good. I can't express. It's hard. I wish we had like smell-o-vision or smell-o-radio, so you could actually, is that even a word? If so, that way you could actually, you know, smell and taste what we actually had an opportunity to check out. So if you're interested, you can get this week's menu and get your first three meals free with free shipping. Just go to blueapron.com/gamertag. You'll love how good it feels and tastes to create incredible home-cooked meals with Blue Apron. So don't wait. That's blueapron.com/gamertag. Blue Apron, a better way to cook.
By the way, Pete, Gamescom is this week.
Yes.
Are you excited? Because I read, well, actually, I don't know if you go to YouTube, you get a notification from Xbox. You know they're going to have a booth over there and everything.
Mm-hmm.
And, hey, Pete, we're wearing the same shirt.
I noticed that, too. Yeah, I didn't want to mention it. You know, it was like, twinning! But, yeah.
No, because it's my last day here at the event. So I'm like, yo, let me just, going to be more people. Let me wear the shirt, promote GTR and everything.
Absolutely.
So, yeah, I like that, man. Yeah. So, So I was checking out their YouTube channel, and they have like a booth, a video of like the booth that they're going to have at Gamescom. And they have a section where people could actually play the Xbox One version of PlayerUnknown Battlegrounds.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, I know we got to, well, you got to play. I almost played it during E3, but it was like a mouse and keyboard. They had
a controller there.
Oh, they did?
Absolutely. And you were actually live on the servers, on the actual playing servers online on the internet.
Interesting.
In those instances. Yeah, you were just in duos, but they had keyboards and they had the mouse out there. They had the controller off to the side. So if you wanted to play with it, you could just pick up and play. But the two reps from Blue Hole that I spoke to, they were actually PUBG partners, which means their actual accounts have access to custom servers and so on and so forth. So they're always in communication with the folks at Bluehole. But at that point, they weren't 100% fully mapped out on controller. So some things just didn't work right. I know over the last two updates that has been corrected. So you can essentially play with it now. You can actually, if you're playing now with your controller connected to your PC, you'll actually see, you know, the A, B, X, Y buttons appear on your screen. You have to actually disconnect your controller so that it defaults back to the visual portion of your key bindings. But you can play now. I believe Paris was doing this a couple of weeks ago. He was playing he was actually alternating back and forth to see what he preferred better. But I think from my perspective, I think they're ready. I think they're just trying to polish it off, make sure whatever updates they've been doing on the PC side get ported over to the Xbox side, because I think they've put in a bunch of improvements over the last couple of updates that make the game more fun and exciting. I'm stoked. Obviously, you know me. I mean, I actually almost wore my PUBG shirt today, but I didn't want to do that a couple of shows in a row. Too much of a fanboy at this point. But
too much of that.
You know, the same way Paris is with Destiny. I guess PUBG has grabbed me that way. Where it's something different and it's something exciting. It's actually a game that I could die early and it's okay because it's still exciting and fun. I know that there was I think it was on Mike.com earlier this week that you know, the writer was talking about how PUBG is the type of game that is exciting to watch, just as exciting to watch as it is to play, simply because it's a game that translates very well to the YouTube streamer, the Twitch streamer, the content creator, because it's, there's always something going on. It's not like in Overwatch or, you know, like that, where you have to wait for the action to build because maybe that character died. There, you never know where the action's going to come from. So, I don't know. You know me, I'm just going to be repping the PUBG life for the next, you know, for the next year, possibly more, hopefully, because I'm just waiting. I'm just waiting for these next two maps, and I'm waiting for it to go full retail so that, you know, people that are, you know, that are hesitant, maybe waiting. If you are, I suggest you pick it up now, because for $30, you're going to get your return on investment. I'm somewhat, I'm upwards of like 270 hours in the game already at this point.
Now, I do have a question about the game, Pete.
Go for it.
Let's say if they send you a code, will you try out the console version?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely, because I would love to play that game with friends that I have on the Xbox that unfortunately I've kind of ditched them because I've embraced the PC mustard life over the last couple of months. But absolutely, I would love to have that game on PC or on console, because I know that there's people that are waiting specifically to play it on console. Simply be,
I'm one of them.
Well, just simply because they're, you know, without going into that whole, you know, that whole conversation, there's people that just prefer that. And that's okay. I would love to play with you, Danny, because I know you and I have played on multiple games, like Gears of War just a couple of weeks ago. You and I did that. I would love to play that. I think it suits that environment perfectly. I'm just curious to see if they're actually going to do just this, if they're going to taper it down, like Brendan said on our interview. Are they going to taper down to 64 people on the island versus 100 on PC, simply because they can support more players in PC, whereas on console, we've seen the max at 64. So that I'm curious to see if that's going to be the only, if that's going to be the only consolation that the console side has to experience. But I'm itching to play with you on console. There's friends of mine that I haven't played with in months that I'm anxious to play with, simply because of, you know, I haven't played with them for so long.
Well, I have a little story to tell you, Pete. So, you know, I'm here at the Call of Duty World League Championship, you know, and I noticed a tweet from Kevin. Isn't he the CEO of Origin?
Oh, yes. Kevin Wozliewski. And yes, I apologize, bro, if I butchered your name. But yes, he's the owner and CEO of Origin PC.
Yeah, so I hit him up. Yo, I'm here too, Kevin. You know my co-host, Pete. What's up? You want to meet up? Yeah, let's do it. So we met up, and we've been hanging around. We were hanging around yesterday. Nice. I even took him and his girlfriend.
Fiance, we were like walking around. Actually.
Oh, my bad, fiance. we were walking around. I was showing him the venue and everything where we were at. And yeah, we actually watched two of the last matches yesterday. We were hanging out. So before that, we were having a conversation. I told him, Kevin, I think I have to go to the PC route, man. You know, I need to step up my game. You got to give me some tips. So yeah, we talked about it for like a good 20 minutes, 20, 30 minutes. We talked about it. So yeah.
That's the right guy to talk to. That's a good guy to talk to, dude. He's a good guy.
Stay tuned, guys.
Yeah, his the Origin PC story actually is a great story. He used to actually work at Origin PC. He was I believe it was the lead marketing guy there. And it's one of those instances where a person leaves a company, is able to step out onto their own and create their own niche and blow up, essentially. I know you and I we partnered with them for the Mafia 2 release party.
Yes,
here in Miami many years ago. And great guy, great company. We've worked with them twice with purchasing equipment with them. I own my son's gaming PC, which he still uses to this day. He's still able to do whatever he does on it, and he loves it. Shout out to Georgia PC.
I told Kevin, like, dude, let's get together, man. We would love to have you on the show, you know, anything that's going on with you guys. So hopefully I'll probably go to their office, their headquarters here. Yeah. And well, actually not here in Orlando, but in Miami. It's super close by to where I live.
Yep.
And Or we'll see. We got something planned. We talked about that too, man.
Good. Yeah, man. It's definitely. I know him and I have spoken. I've spoken to their marketing guy Eddie as well. There's a lot of stuff in the background that we're all working on with them. So and plus, it's good to get local Miami companies working with other local Miamians and South Florida people. It just
definitely.
I think that's a good thing to do always. You know, support them. So
Pete, quick question before we go to the interviews. Sure. People been asking any updates about the t-shirts, you know, the CR t-shirts on Twitch or on pictures online, everything. And people would like to get a GTR shirt. Any update with that?
Yes. Actually just finished getting the artwork from our good marketing folks. So stay tuned. That's all I can say for now. Stay tuned. They will be coming out very soon.
Very soon.
Yeah, soon. They may not be the exact models that you're seeing Danny and I wearing right now. But you listeners, viewers, Paris, you keep growing, so we can't find a right size for you.
I know, right? I had a shirt was like too small for him.
Yeah, every time we go and get him a new shirt, it gets too small for him. So I might have to go look for that. I might have to go see if we could procure a tank top vendor just to support Paris's t-shirt venture here. But yeah. Stay tuned. We will be having, we will have shirts soon. We're still working on that with the designers as well as finding the right venue to sell it.
Cool. Well, right now we're going to play the interview that I recorded here at the CWL Championship. So we'll be right back after this.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it. Back on the scene. This is Gamertag Radio. Voicemail at 786-2737-GTR.
All right, so we're live here at the Call of Duty World League Championship, and we have...
Hi, I'm Kevin Flynn. I'm the Director of Product Marketing for Call of Duty Esports, and that's at Major League Gaming.
So how long have you been involved with this?
I've been with the Call of Duty franchise for over 4 years now. Started in England, have slowly made my way over here to the United States, and have been helping run the CWL, as we like to call it, the Call of Duty World League, for 2 years now.
And now why Orlando? That was a very interesting pick from you guys, because I think you never had an event here in Orlando in the East Coast, right?
Yeah, it was so you could come and attend easily from Miami. We wanted you here really badly. apart from that, the Amway Center actually is a fabulous venue. It's a really great arena. It's super modern, and it really, really suited our needs. And being on the East Coast is cool for Europe, time zone-wise. It's a little bit more friendly. And not being on the West Coast means we don't push into the later hours for the East Coast as well. So we think generally it's a friendlier broadcast time for everyone.
I know there's a lot of people that probably don't know much about how this works from start to finish. Can you tell us a little bit about that too, the championship?
Yeah, sure. I mean, I can take you all the way back to the start of the season, really. And we've been running Game Battles Ladders really since December, and we obviously launched our first offline event then as well when we hit Vegas just before Christmas. And then from there, we have the ladders are always on. We have regular what we call 2K tournaments at the weekend, and we've had lots of those LAN events, offline events all around the world. And really, the players have earned what we call CWL Pro Points throughout all of those experiences, and that's created a seeding, and it's created a cadence of who the top teams are and competition there. And the top 32 teams in the world across Europe, North America and Asia Pacific, they qualified for the event here in Orlando. So it's been a long journey for a lot of these guys, and all roads have led to the Amway Center this season.
And you guys have been making also changes throughout the years too, based on the game, because you know the game that's coming out later this year, it's a lot different than the ones that are out now.
We're really open to feedback, and we try to work with the players. We try to take on their feedback, and then we obviously then go to work with the studio, Infinity Ward, and those guys have been amazing. They've been super open to hearing that feedback from the players, I mean, when you go, again, we'll go back to the start of the season, and we actually entered the year with a list of bass bands for the first time ever. And the playing community were really supportive of that. And then as we got into the season, we've seen weapons, you know, the weapon balance meta of a game like Call of Duty will change and evolve throughout the season. And that's meant we've had to have conversations at different parts of the season. And we introduced other items as the season evolved and matured. So it really has been an open two-way thing. And, you know, our players are super passionate. We really appreciate that. But we always need to listen to try and get better.
And has it been challenging for you guys to also get people that never been to an event like this? Is that's the thing I was thinking. Like, man, wow, they came to Orlando, not Miami, Orlando. So hopefully there's probably going to be a whole new crowd that never attended an event like this, you know? So are you guys been also trying to get them also to be involved and check this out?
Yeah, I think we're always trying to get new people interested. I mean, one of the biggest things as the Call of Duty World League we have is Call of Duty to try and leverage. And, you know, there's so many millions of people that play the game, and we're always trying to bring more of those people over, get them interested into the competitive element of what we offer. Being in new markets like this certainly helps as well. But I think our broadcast team, the on-air talent, I think they do a great job of lowering the barrier to entry, breaking down plays, explaining what's on the screen and what's going on. And we also have a duty with some of our content to help people understand what's going on in different game modes, because, you know, we're not playing team deathmatch, we are playing SND, hardpoint and uplink, so we need to help people understand what's going on, and I think we've done a good job across those tools. So broadcast, talent and content, I think has helped a lot this year.
What are your thoughts about Latin America? Are they also involved with this too, pro
so,
teams, right?
Yeah, so not formally yet, but I mean the Brazilian scene is crazy. Like, they are in. I get emails all the time, and we're desperately trying to figure out how we make that work. But we've actually seen a Brazilian team turn up at events this year. So they've flown in. I'm pretty sure they're at Dallas and Anaheim, at least, perhaps even Atlanta as well. So yeah, it's very, very interesting to keep an eye on that space, because there's a lot of passion for Call of Duty in Brazil. And it's our duty to figure out how we unlock that.
What about in other places like Mexico and other countries like that?
So I haven't seen that as obviously for Call of Duty yet. But we're always looking to open up. We are always looking to bring new people in, and we have some Mexican players. Uli from Rise Nation. He flies the Mexican flag on his jersey. So yeah, we want more and more people in, and we're going to figure out how to let that happen.
Yeah, I just love the crowd, man. Like last year, I went to Call of Duty XP and also went to the championship last year. And this yesterday too, everybody was like shouting out Optic Gaming and everything. I just love the vibe of the gamers and fans of the teams, man. So it's really, really cool. And I hope to see more people that have never been to an event like this. I hope they could check it out in the future too, you know. So, I mean, anything else? What is the plans now after this season?
Well, I think we want to get through to tomorrow first. So it's been a long season. I mean, we've given out $4 million this year, or we would have by Sunday night. So we've got the last $1.5 million to give away today and tomorrow. But yeah, I think after that, we'll come together, we'll take stock, think about what went well, what we could improve, and then we'll start putting the finishing touches to our plans for next year. But as of now, I can't give too much else away, I'm afraid.
But I hope to see you guys maybe visit Miami or city like New York. I think that would be an awesome spot for you guys to go. It's a huge, huge audience over there, man. And I think it would be great for just the industry in general, you know?
I'm all in for Miami. I'm available.
There you go, South Beach.
tell me when to get there.
for more information about the championship?
Yeah, so, I mean, we're available. I mean, if this is going up quickly, we're available to watch all weekend on MLG.TV, Twitch, YouTube, Facebook. It's available in French, Italian, German and Spanish. You can watch in-game on Infinite Warfare and in Black Ops 3. So plenty of ways people can follow. But generally, I would suggest following Call of Duty World League on Twitter, at COD World League, and follow at MLG as well. And you'll be in a good spot to be kept up to date.
And what about those that maybe want to be part of the championship next year? How they could also be involved?
So, yeah, I mean, your first stop is going to be game battles when the season kicks off. So we know the new game comes out on November 3rd, and you know, we are hoping not to be too far away from that. So be ready to get some friends together and start playing your game battles ladders, enter some 2Ks online. And, you know, if you do well enough, we might see you at an open and you might end up on the main stage.
My last question is, the other day I was reading that the Olympics are thinking about getting involved with esports. What are your thoughts about that? I think that's very big for the industry.
It's really interesting. Actually, a colleague of mine, a guy called Jay, he got ribbed quite a lot for calling out the Olympics a while ago, and it's coming real already. So I think it's really interesting opportunity. The bigger esports gets and the more credible it gets, it just becomes a more relevant conversation. So really excited to see how that pans out. I think it was 2024 in Paris. They've really talked about it. And the French government are super supportive of esports. So, yeah, exciting and interesting. And I'll be keeping an eye on that.
And how throughout the year, you say you've been involved 4 years. How's that did change?
We're at the Amway Center.
That's pretty big, too.
Yeah. I think if you look at the last 2 years, so we were at the Forum last year for XP, as you know, you were there, and it was a great event. Being here with just an esports focus at the Amway Center, I think when you pair that with the prize money that we're investing, I think that shows you how things have shifted so significantly, so quickly over the last 2 years. So really finding ourselves in really cool venues like this with all of the millions of dollars we're giving away, I think that shows you the commitment.
Thanks a lot, Kevin.
Awesome. I really enjoyed it. Thanks, Danny.
You're listening to Gamertag Radio.
All right, so we have here Hector Rodriguez, CEO, right, of Optic Gaming. Welcome to the show, man. How you doing?
I'm doing well, man. Thanks for having me on.
So tell us a little bit about the history about Optic Gaming.
Well, we started out as a competitive Call of Duty 2 team. And then from there, Call of Duty 3 came out. Nobody played that, so we went back to Call of Duty 2. And then when Call of Duty 4 came out, that's when I started making YouTube videos, trying to, you know, teach people how to become better at the game. And little by little, gained an audience. From there, we reached out to a couple of Call of Duty professional players, and then we made our way back into esports.
It's crazy. Earlier, I went upstairs to check out Optic was playing, I believe, versus Splice. Man, the crowd was going crazy, man. That was a pretty good match, man. How is it feel, man, like to get that support from the crowd, man?
You know, we very early on, we focused on that. We focused on having a relationship with the fans. We focused on having an audience, you know, where other teams were going out and saying, all right, we're going to get the best players out there. We're going to create a championship team. I said, well, what's the point? And nobody's going to be there to celebrate with you. So we started creating YouTube content that was very relationship oriented between us and the people that were watching us. We try to put ourselves out there as much as we could. We generated a sort of a model that pretty much dictated that at all times we have to be sharing our lives with our fans, because that's how you create the form of familiarity, you know, because whether we've met or not, they were still interested in our success because we were friends. We were friends through a webcam. We were friends through YouTube. So that's it feels really good to finally see, you know, the fruits of that relationship come to what it is today.
Yeah, I think, and I totally agree. I think engagement with the fans is super important, because they're your street team. They're going to be there talking about you guys, promoting it, and which in a way too, that's what I noticed too, that I was reading, you know, Twitch, it could get some crazy comments in there. But people were like, why Optic has so many fans if they really haven't won a Call of Duty championship in a while? But like you said, it's the engagement that you guys have with your fans, right?
Well, yeah. I mean, we just won stage two finals, the $500,000 tournament. We were the only team to win multiple championships. There's other teams that won championships on this game, but we're the only team that has won multiple on this game. We are always the favorites at every single tournament that we go to. But... you know, it's a combination of both. It's a combination of the relationship that we have, the combination of having what we have now, right? That relationship that says, you know, we are here for you guys, and it's like a symbiotic relationship, because every single time, like, our job is to entertain them, and our job is to win championships for the fans, for the Green Wall. The Green Wall's job is to win voting, you know, championships. And what I mean by that is that anytime that there's any discussion, we're a part of any conversation that says who is the best esports team out there, and it's a fan voted, you know, category, we always win, because that's their championship to win. And we've been very lucky to have that sort of relationship with the Green Wall.
Yeah, and I noticed too, from the business side, you guys have been getting a lot of support from a lot of companies. And how that works, has it been difficult at first trying to get the sponsorship? And now with the amount of fans that you guys have, I think it will be easier to also get influence them about different events going on with your team and everything, right?
Yeah, I mean, we've always had support from endemic companies, right? The Scuffs, the Turtle Beaches, the X-Racers of the world, the endemic brands that are native to esports and video games. But we've gotten really, really lucky in our ability to get in front of good brands. In getting in front of non-endemic brands, you know, the Brisks of the world, most recently the Chipotles of the world, Turtle Wax of the world. And the way that we've been doing that is because we aren't just, you know, professional gamers. We perpetuate this lifestyle, you know, that, you know, video game players aren't these nerdy kids anymore. These are just all walks of life individual. And that's what's attracted those brands. Difficult has been, you know, the education to these new brands that are coming into the space and tell them that, you know, esports isn't the Wild Wild West. If you know where to look, you're going to get good brands that know how to represent your brand appropriately and educate you as this goes along. And that's something that our agency RevXP has done a very, very tremendous job at. The other thing is that I'm very focused in educating these non-endemic brands on the fact that just because, you know, it's Call of Duty and just because it's a shooter, it doesn't mean that there's anything bad with it, right? It's a video game, and you know, the more the years go on, the more that people are starting to open up their minds to the fact that, yeah, it's a video game that displays a soldier shooting another soldier, but at the end of the day, it's a video game, and every negative connotation that comes with it is going away slowly but surely. And again, it's all part of the education process that we as a company and Optic and the audience that we have been able to, you know, educate the brands on.
Yeah, I was going to ask that question, like, man, how you got this? Because probably they were like, oh, this probably is too violent for our company and stuff. So it's good that you mentioned that, man.
Yeah, look, I Call of Duty is the first game that I fell in love with. It is my favorite esport. I'm, you know, I love all the esports that we're involved with, but, you know, you never forget your first love. And the one that changed my life was Call of Duty. And as such, I feel that it's my responsibility to educate and to be a good ambassador for Call of Duty as much as I can. And if that means that I have to sit there hours on end educating people on why it isn't and why, you know, the old school mentality, you know, is going away, I'd gladly do that, you know, I do that for free.
Right now, esports is getting bigger and bigger each year. I was talking with Kevin Flynn about this, about the Olympics. They're considering also adding esports to the Olympics in the future, 2024 maybe. Your thoughts about that, and it would be cool to see your team up in there too, right?
Well, it depends on which esport they're going to put up there. You know, them getting involved in esports, again, you know, it's a matter of which esport are they going to choose. Are they going to go with League of Legends, which is the most popular one? Are they going to go with Dota? Are they going to go with a shooter like Call of Duty, you know, Gears of War? What are they going to do? So we don't know. How I feel about it is it's pretty cool that they're starting to take notice, but it's just like anything else, right? It's, you know, mainstream media is starting to take notice, but that doesn't mean that we don't have, you know, mainstream numbers already. You know, for the last 2 years, we've had amazing, you know, numbers that show the growth and how big it actually is without having to be in the Olympics, without having to be on television. You know, esports doesn't need television as much as television needs esports. You know, when we won back-to-back gold medals at the X Games, that was like one of the first steps, and that happened 3 years ago. You know, so it's about time that they're starting to take notice to that level, but it isn't something that we as esports needed.
Do you think it's everybody is being really, really careful about that stuff too, because they don't want this to become too mainstream, and maybe it will become like on the business side, maybe it will go down because of it. You think that's a bad thing or no?
Not at all. No, I mean, we're gonna get to be competitors in the mainstream space. Period. You know, we're already there almost. You know, we're already there as far as numbers go, as far as, you know, the engagement of the audience. I mean, if you look and do research on how much, you know, traditional sports companies are looking at the space and saying, so, whoa, how do we tap into this millennial, you know, audience? Because, you know, we need this sort of, like, everybody that watches sports is traditionally on the older side, right? And sports teams are saying, how do we get into this market? How do we get the 13 to 25 year olds to to be engaged as they are with esports. And again, it's just the native sense that millennials have, where, you know, everything is digital, everything's on the palm of their hands. They don't, television to them is just something that they don't even, you know, that's not even important to them. So yeah, no, it's not gonna be bad.
So let's say there's in the future you plan to recruit some gamers to be part of Optic. How the process works, because probably there's people probably that are very like a fan of you guys, and they would love to be part of Optic, you know, in the future. So how that process works?
We usually let the recruitment process be handled by the players. The players are the ones that are going to be competing at this. So the organization usually takes a step back and lets them do the recruitment process, and then, you know, we coordinate the, you know, the signing of the player, etc. But it's up to the players to recruit their teammates.
Do you see yourself adding more games into the brand too?
If it makes sense and the opportunity is right, yeah, absolutely.
Which one do you think got your attention so far?
There's a lot of them. I mean, there's the fighting scene. There's the, you know, the MOBAs. I don't know. It depends on which opportunity presents itself.
Well, what's next for you guys now after this?
I can't see that far in advance, man. The Call of Duty Championships has my sole focus right now, and that's what it's going to be. You know, I'll worry about everything else later. What matters this weekend is Call of Duty Champs.
I just want to say good luck and congrats, man. You guys have been doing great, man, so far this month.
Thank you very much.
For more information about Optic Gaming,
optic.tv.
Thanks a lot, man.
Appreciate it.
All right, so shout out to our sponsor, Western Digital. With WD, you're now able to get a solid-state drives and hard drives to fit your unique needs. When you add the superior performance of a WD solid-state drive to your PC, you get blazing read speeds so you can boot your system quickly or load games and other applications in a snap. Combined with a reliable WD hard drive, you get up to 6 terabytes of storage to keep your game library, direct feed video, podcasts, and more all in a single place. And for limited time, GamerTag Radio listeners, you could get 20% off WD SSDs with coupon code WDGTR. Let me repeat that. Coupon code WDGTR. That's 20% off WD SSDs. Find out more at WD.com/GTR. So take advantage of this. This is a great, great offer right here. Limited time offer. So once again, let me repeat this. GamerTag Radio listeners can get 20% off WD SSDs. And here's the coupon code WDGTR. And remember, for more information, go to WD.com/GTR.
Back on the scene. This is GamerTag Radio.
Pete, what is your plans for this week, man?
This week, obviously today, I'm going to be playing Lawbreakers, playing Agents of Mayhem.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously traveling at the end of the week with you to a top secret location. Trip. Top secret location. Yeah. I believe that's it for me. Obviously, PUBG time. I know fans are asking for our LS40 and the rest of the Lucid Sound reviews. I really like it, but that's all I can say right now, because I still want Danny and Paris to finish up their time with the rest of the LS series. But
I'll tell you this, Pete, I've been wearing it a lot, you know, during my trips, and I've been using it too when I play the Nintendo Switch. So yeah, you'll see. We'll definitely be talking about that.
Have you been using it on like walking around, like listening to music and
yeah,
so on?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, and on a plane.
Okay.
You know, yeah.
Sweet.
By the way, one game I'm definitely going to be talking about, hopefully soon, is Thumper. You know Thumper, Pete.
Yeah.
The game I've been playing a lot on PlayStation 4 and Nintendo Switch. The developer sent me a review copy of the Xbox One version.
Oh.
Yeah, but for some reason, they don't want us to talk about it until Thursday. I don't know. But I'll definitely be talking about that soon.
So, question: you said for the Nintendo Switch, Thumper is on the Switch.
Yeah, remember the first time I actually played it on Twitch was through the Nintendo Switch.
Interesting.
And then I bought the PlayStation 4 version. Yeah. And then I play the PlayStation 4 version here. And hopefully soon I could stream the Xbox One version. Yeah, I love that game. I've been playing it nonstop, both versions. But now the Xbox One version is coming out, I believe, Friday.
Okay.
This Friday. So, yeah, I'll talk about it more soon. So
sweet. So Nez92 has a question. How do you feel about Brawlout coming to the Switch? Do you think it's an indication that Super Smash Brothers won't come out till way later?
No. I think it's great that it's coming out, but, dude, that's a big game. There's still a lot of people that never purchased a Wii U and never got to play that game. So this is an opportunity for Nintendo to announce we have this game coming up. They could release that early next year. Get more people to buy Nintendo Switch. More people are going to play it. And I think that's a cool move, man. They could release it. They released the Mario Kart 8 for Nintendo Switch, and that was available for the Wii U. So they could do the same exact thing for this console, this version.
So that's not a regular Nintendo fighter game, though, right? That's a third-party fighting game, right?
What do you mean a third-party game?
It's a third-party game, right? It's not.
Oh, yeah, yeah. It's not a first party. It's okay, not first so party. But
you're not going to see like Princess Peach versus Wario.
No.
Okay.
No. But Microsoft. Nintendo is still, was still, they're probably going to still plan to release Smash.
Right. I think what it does is it satisfies the fighting community on the Switch platform while they continue to finish and develop the next Smash Brothers iteration. It's probably the best way to say it.
Yeah, I mean, look, right now they have ARMS. You could also get the Street Fighter game, also if you're into that. You know, so plus now this, that's good. That's great. The more, the better, I think.
Right.
Yeah. Look, there's a couple racing games coming out for the Nintendo Switch. So they still released Mario Kart. They're going to release more. I think it's good, man. The most important thing for Nintendo is to get people happy that games are coming out. It could be indie games. It could be third party, first party, and get new people to buy Nintendo Switch. That's their focus right now. They don't care who released it, what type of game it is. You know, so. Anything else?
Okay, so one last one from Elite Mad Skills. Hey guys, random question. Is there a go-to retro game you go to back you go back to every gear? Mine is Super Castlevania 4 and SNES.
That's a good one. That's one of my favorite Castlevania. But lately I've been also going back and playing a lot of Streets of Rage Part 1 and Part 2 because I love the soundtrack. So I play actually the other day I was streaming it on Twitch. Because I have the Xbox One version of all three of them. So I was playing that for a while. So I love Streets of Rage soundtrack. Part 3, not so much.
Okay. I don't play a lot of retro games. Like, I'm usually the kind that... I'm the type of person that once I play something, I'm done with it and I ditch it. Mm-hmm. I will say, though, whenever I have an emulator up or if the opportunity does present itself... Excitebike.
Oh, Excitebike. That's a good one.
Yeah, that's one game that always pulls me back in just because it's just so much fun and silliness. And it's easy to just pick up and play.
Yeah, definitely. Can't wait. Yep. Well, Pete, Wednesday's a big day. We're going to have the lead writer, right, of Agents?
Yes, Jason Blair. He's the lead writer, narrative director from Volition. He's going to be on the show Wednesday night at 9:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We're going to be talking Agents of Mayhem.
Mm-hmm.
So please, if you can, be on that. Just listen to that show, because if you have questions about it or you're curious but you're not sold 100%, I'm sure. I've heard previous interviews with Jason, and he's an amazing storyteller. So I think it's going to be a great opportunity to answer questions for people. If you have other questions, stay tuned to this channel. Obviously, I'm gonna have a gameplay over the next couple of days. I know once Danny returns back to South Florida, he will too. So, you know, stay tuned. Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. So, all right, head over to GamerTagRadio.com or play that it/gamertag. It's been a long weekend, guys. Listen to our past episodes. Make sure to spread the word about it. You can also find us on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, everywhere, and other podcast directories. By the way, I have an update about the messages, Pete.
Oh.
A huge update. Huge update. So two nights ago, I was checking to see how we were doing, you know, in the charts and everything. And the movie, The Messengers, a podcast documentary, was number 10. Number 10 top pre-orders.
Wow.
Of
that's huge.
All movies.
That's huge.
All movies. That is freaking huge. Amazing. So, yeah, I couldn't sleep that night. I got goosebumps. I was like, wow, man. Number 10. Guys, you don't know how hard that is. to make that happen, I was super pumped. So yeah,
that's amazing.
We were.
Congrats to you, bro.
Yeah, yeah, super amazing, man. Super amazing. And we were the only indie film in that top 10. Yeah. Do you want me to tell you the names of the movies that we were right next to?
Maybe Cars 3, I think, was one of them.
Cars 3. Tell you right now, Wonder Woman is number one, of course.
Wow.
Wonder Woman. Yeah, so it's The Mummy, Planet of the Apes is right next to us, Transformers is right next to us, Cars 3, Baywatch, Despicable Me 3, Spider-Man Homecoming,
oh wow,
The Lion King, and so on. Yeah, so we're number 10.
Wow.
Insane. So yeah, thank you everybody who's been supporting and buying. And if you haven't pre-ordered, please go right now and pre-order it, man. So it comes out August 23rd. Yeah. Just want to say that very quick. Oh, mm-hmm. So there's one question here. Are we going to be able to order it on Google Play? Right now, it's only available for iTunes. The reason is, you know, this is strictly independent. You know, it's a long process to get this movie available in other platforms. But right now, it's iTunes. Based on the support that we have, if this debuts pretty high, the charts is going to get a lot of attention of like other people, other companies from Netflix and Amazon and so on. So if you ever get the chance... you know, if you don't have iTunes on your phone or any other device, download it on your PC. It's totally free and just buy from there. You know, that's what I've been telling people, you know. So if you have an iPhone, it's even easier. Way better, too. Or iPad or Apple TV. So I purchased a copy and I have the movie. I have a copy of the movie.
Yep.
So,
same here.
Yeah.
Same cool. here.
Thanks. Thanks. Thanks for everybody supporting. Anything else, Pete?
No, that's it from my side. Yeah, other than that, you know, shout out to over the last couple of days, Noble 666, Kip Do Work, Array of Things, and Ram M Malika Jin for subscriptions.
Nice. Yeah, shout out to
her. We're actually one away from 100 subs. On our Twitch.
Really?
Channel. So
we have 99 subs?
We have 99 subs as of right now. So
wow, that's amazing.
Thank you
that's
everyone
dope,
who's, thank you everyone who's gone out of your way to help with the subscriptions and everything. So
yeah, truly, man. And sorry guys if I'm not 100%. I'm telling you, I'm in a random hotel here in Orlando. Nah, but it's been cool, man. Shout out to, you know, Activision, everybody then they invited me to this event. I've been having a blast, man. A blast. So,
yep.
And hopefully one day we could all go to a tournament, all of us together, Pete. That would
yeah,
be awesome.
It's been a long time since we've been in a game tournament together. So, yeah absolutely.
We definitely. Back in the days, we used to cover them like MLG,
yep.
Halo 2, and so on. Back in the days, man. So, it's awesome. It's great. All right, guys. So make sure to go and download the podcast. We're going to have the full interview and everything there. So thank you for watching here on Twitch. Until next time, we're out.
Thanks for listening to Gamertag Radio. Be sure to like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter.